Hey, what's up? I am Ghost Joe, and happy Friday the 13th, y'all. So we have yet another Friday the 13th special. Edgegrave Dave has a Friday the 13th 2017 game review, and we go into some details about Friday the 13th lore, and that's about it. What the hell do you want? It's a bonus show, all right?
Do aliens exist, and are they among us? Are weird creatures lurking in the darkness? Do evil entities hide in the shadows of your bedroom while you sleep? Join us as we explore all this and more on the Warped Reality Podcast.
So, Friday the 13th, right? It's normally, you know, considered an unlucky day for a lot of people. But for us paranormal and horror fans, it's a day of celebration. And we must relish in this moment because the next Friday the 13th isn't until June 2025. And that's the only one that we're going to get for that whole year. But in 2026, we're going to get three of them. So we're going to have a lot of celebrating then. So let's get into the Friday the 13th history, which was actually researched by our friend Michelle Poulos, who you're going to be hearing a lot from actually pretty soon. And she was originally supposed to voice the segment. But due to some time constraints, we weren't able to make it happen. She was actually born on a Friday the 13th in March as well. So that's pretty crazy. So do you think that you have Paradesca or Triska Deck? You know what? Are you scared of Friday the 13th? I'm not going to say those terms because I'm not going to attempt it anymore. But you could go look them up. Okay. That's what Google is for. Both of those terms that I was trying to say both mean fear of Friday the 13th. Every year, the economy suffers over $800 million of financial loss due to people avoiding this day, usually for events like traveling and special occasions such as weddings, and people don't even want to go to work on that day. It's actually known in a lot of cultures as unlucky. In biblical versions, Judas was the 13th person at the Last Supper, and he straight up disrespected my dude because he ended up betraying him, right? We all know that story. In Norse lore, Loki, the god of chaos, that's what they call me. Well, he also showed up as the 13th guest amongst the 12 gods, and he caused, chaos. Also, in mathematics, 12 is considered a perfect number for many ways of dividing and multiplying and all that good stuff. And 13 is the odd prime number. In the tarot deck, the XIII card is actually the death card as well. And in Iran, the 13th day is considered a day for pranks and spending time outdoors. Even everyone's favorite pop princess, Tay-Tay, hates Friday the 13th. So we all got to hate it too then, right? I had stated in a previous episode some unlucky things that had occurred on Friday the 13th through history, such as a cruise ship named the Costa Concordia, which partially sank off the Italian coast, killing 32 people in January of 2012. A 13-year-old British boy was struck by lightning in 2010 at 13:13, and on June 13th, 1952, a Swedish flight DC-3 vanished over the Baltic Sea and was never recovered. Nobody knows what happened to that flight. And also, Daredevil Sam Patch had died performing a stunt, jumping into High Falls into the Genesee River in 1829. Oh, I mean, maybe that last one wasn't really so much of bad luck, being that he was possibly drunk at the time, too. So, yeah, so that's a little bit of history for you. Thank you again to Michelle for your research. I appreciate it. And, so now let's check in with Edgegrave Dave for a special horrible review.
Horrible reviews with Edgegrave Dave.
You and your friends are dead. Game over. Well, that's a video game screen that I know that Ghost Joe and I are very familiar with. We're back in 1989. Friday the 13th, the video game, came out for the Nintendo Entertainment System. Yeah, little did we realize that just 28 years later, wait, 28 years, not 13, that in 2017, Friday the 13th, the video game, came out for the more modern system. That is, for the Xbox One, the PS4, the current system, the Nintendo Switch, and even Windows. Hell, this game even introduced my daughter to horror. Happy Friday the 13th, grave diggers, because unlike Jason, this game might not be returning from the dead. So while the weather outside is starting to become frightful, I do hope that what I'm about to tell you, you do find insightful. You see, the number that we will be discussing is not actually 13. The real number is 7, as our story takes place 7 years ago, when there was a brand new Friday the 13th video game that crept up and was unleashed to the masses. Although 7 is only the amount of years of life that this game has. Because on December 31st of this year, 2024, the game will be shutting down and will be sunsetted. And 7 years ago, there was no brand new Friday the 13th Jason movie. So grab your DeLoreans and Roy's hockey mask from 1985. And here we go. Kill, kill, kill. So it looks like our Back to the Future Part 2 DeLorean that landed in 2015 didn't know that Gun Media was actually working on a game called Slasher Volume 1 Summer Camp with very little details. And the story took place on Camp Forest Green. Camp Forest Green, where have we heard that before? If you go back to Friday the 13th, Part 6, that's what they renamed the camp so that nobody had terrible memories of Jason. At this time in 2015, Friday the 13th director Sean S. Cunningham was in talks about an upcoming game of Friday the 13th. They were able to secure the license. And from that moment on, the game was able to use Jason. The game was able to be called Friday the 13th. Harry Manfredini from the movies, he was able to create the soundtrack to this. There were pre-alpha development stages where they started to 3D model Jason. In 2016, Kane Hodder, who does portray Jason in some of our favorite movies, Friday the 13th, Part 7, The New Blood, Part 8, Jason Takes Manhattan, Jason X, and Jason Goes to Hell, he was able to create all the kills that we love. Almost every single version of Jason. You also have every single version of Jason just about unmasked, including what Jason would have looked like in Jason Goes to Hell. I thought that was really cool. We also have Roy from Part 5. While we had many different counselors that took attributes from several different movies with their mannerisms and their looks, we had Larry Zerner, who in Friday the 13th, Part 3, he played Shelley, and he did reprise his role. And Shelley is the reason why we have the hockey mask to begin with. We also have Tom Matthews, who played Tommy Jarvis in Part 6, Jason Lives. For these reasons, guys, it brought so much more realism, and it really made us care about the game, just hearing the authentic voices and having the mannerisms and the sounds. Another added bonus that we had, there was a backer where if you contributed to funding this game, Tom Savini, the very creator of Jason Voorhees himself, had a fiery Savini Jason that was a different type of Jason character where he was all black. It looks like Freddy from the events of Freddy versus Jason, and a very special weapon, and there was fire coming out of him. There is a solo offline mode that I will get into that, while not all that great, there is a virtual cabin. One of the next things that they were going to do prior to the game's cancellation was have an Uber Jason from Jason X. The only version, aside from Friday the 13th Part 1, where he's a drowned boy, the only version that we didn't get, and they would have had the Grendel ship as a map. Oh man, that would have been cool. But the maps that you get in this game are really unbelievable. The very first campsite, Pinehurst from Part 5, you get the Tommy Jarvis house, Packinac. Oh man, it was so cool. And the way that you play the game, it's an open world style, which is about, I'm going to call it 99% online. One lucky son of a gun gets to run around as Jason and with a 20-minute time limit, kill all the counselors. And the counselors, well, just like the movies, it looks like the goal of the game is to survive, at least depending upon how you're looking at it. So the big question here is, which version of the game is more fun to play? Playing as Jason and trying to slaughter all the counselors, or playing as the counselors and trying to escape Jason, or maybe you can even take down Jason? Well, that all depends on how you're looking at it. Each Jason has the ability to teleport, something like what he started doing in Part 8, Jason Takes Manhattan. He could also see hiding places with an infrared kind of vision, where you can see if they're in a cabin or if they're behind a haystack or something like that. And some of them can run, can walk real fast. Some of them could do better things than others. I gotta tell you, the way that the artwork is done, it perfectly portrays right along with the scenic background and the music of Jason. And the counselors are no different. Each counselor is sort of a medley of either a couple of characters or a specific character from the movies. And they all have different abilities too. Some of them are really good at running, are good at fixing things. Some of them are kind of strong, where you can even hit Jason with a number of different melee items. Things like baseball bats, a fire poker, even a stick. Yeah, you can find a stick from a tree branch outside. But there are special items that you can pick up that could help you. You can pick up things like a first aid spray, where if you're hit, it's going to show that you have marks on your body and that you're going to die, especially if you're going to climb through some of those broken windows. One spray, just like in real life, and you're fine. You're healed. If you're lucky enough to find a pocket knife, you could defend yourself, where while Jason's grabbing you, you can get away pretty quickly. But one of my favorite things that you can find, and if you're lucky enough to do so, if you die in the game or escape, whether early or late, there is one character after finding the house where you can call Tommy Jarvis, where Tommy Jarvis will appear. And that is done at random. If you're one of the female characters, every version of the map has Jason Shack. You can find the sweater, the very sweater from Part 2, and you can put it on. And you can fool Jason into thinking you're his mommy. And while that's being done, if Tommy Jarvis has an axe or a machete, you could do the unthinkable and you can kill Jason. This I myself have done maybe 2 or 3 times tops. It's very, very hard to do and very, very rare to do. And when you find that sweater, oh boy, you better run, because Jason's mother will alert him. And after 10 minutes, you hear her cackling laugh. Jason's even stronger, where instead of trying to use his weapon to knock down doors, he could just start walking right through them. And you better look out. The feeling of the game can be very horrifying. I really highly recommend playing it in the dark, because you kind of get this old kind of CRT TV that has a kind of glitch, scratch sort of effect going through it, like blip, and then Jason's right there. And it can be quite scary. I think that Kane Hodder did a phenomenal job returning as Jason, and it's something that we never thought that we'd ever see. The game does have its issues, though. There are glitches far and wide. One of the toughest things to do is to actually play the game itself. You could be waiting a solid 5 minutes. Sometimes it even feels like 13, just trying to get a match in the game. And when you are waiting and waiting and you get kicked out, that really stinks. If somebody's playing Jason and they quit, you're out of the game. If you die, you could use the cameras in the camp and simply watch your dead body and everybody else play. And if you're not selected as Tommy Jarvis, well, you're not really doing too much. You see, the game is really online. There is that solo mode where you could explore that virtual cabin, and then you can play the dreaded offline bots. The bots are AI, where they're counselors and they don't really move around all that great. You can kind of find them. And they did come out with side missions. There are also downloadable costumes that you could have, like this Summer of 84 pack, where you get bikinis and all kinds of bathing suits. And then there was a Halloween pack, and one of them is an Andre the Giant costume right from the 80s, and a Cobra Kai costume, which is quite awesome. There was a big lawsuit between Victor Miller from the original Friday the 13th and Sean S. Cunningham, where all future properties, movie production ceased to exist. Yet merchandise was able to be sold for some reason. And unfortunately, it affected the game, where we learned that no more updates would be given to it, and it would just kind of be selling out in cyberspace. And then it was delisted in 2023. It was very, very sad. What a tragedy that it was. If you're able to play it, if you have any of those systems, I do implore you to turn off all the lights and check out this game, because it's definitely one of my fondest memories, basically an extension of watching a movie, and it really does give that feeling. So I definitely rate this game. Go play it if you can. Unfortunately, the game, along with hopefully not the franchise, will be sunsetted, but the franchise will have a sunrise. We have a proposed Peacock series called Crystal Lake, and I'm really curious to see what they're going to be doing with it. It looks like a lot of the legal troubles of this game, while very, very sad, have been mostly resolved, and we just got to see what's happening with our boy, Jason Voorhees, one of the most iconic slashers ever to face the horror earth. So happy Friday the 13th, Ghost Joe, Natman, and I hope you don't have too much of an unlucky day. Edgegrave Dave, out, 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 mom, mom.
Thanks a lot, Dave, for your awesome review. Yeah, I actually remember many days sitting in his room playing the Nintendo Friday the 13th game and having a freaking blast along with all the other Nintendo games. We're old, all right? Get over it. Get over it. So anyway, thank you so much for listening. And thank you to Michelle Poulos for her awesome research on Friday the 13th. You will be hearing much more from her soon, as she will hopefully become a regular on the show. The Natman and I have also done a segment about tarot cards with her, and she did a reading with me as well, which hopefully I should be able to air pretty soon. Also, we interviewed Gina Black, a paranormal investigator and content creator for She Haunts. So stay tuned for that as well. So thanks again, everybody. Happy Friday the 13th. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you next time. Thank you for listening to the Warped Reality Podcast, and thank you to all my guests and contributors that help make this show possible. For more episodes, guest info, social media links, merch, and more, please check out warpedrealitypodcast.com. If you have a paranormal experience you would like to share, questions, comments, or you'd like to be a guest on the show, please leave me a voicemail at 845-600-0744, or you can email me at ghostjoeny@gmail.com. You can do so anonymously if you'd like. Also, I'd greatly appreciate it if you could leave me a review on Apple Podcasts or WarpRealityPodcast.com. Have a great night, everyone, and don't forget to change your thoughts.